The question was asked, in Judaism, do we accept the claim, I was just following orders? So, the Talmud discusses this. The Talmud says that, in general, we say, Divrei Harav v'divrei Tanmid, Divrei Mishomin. If the master tells you, do this, and his student says, no, do that, who are you supposed to listen to? To the master. God says, I told you, do this. Someone else tells you, no, do that. So, obviously, you're supposed to listen to God. So that's the first rule that we have. The general rule is that God says, I came first. I told you what to do. What are you doing listening to people who they themselves have to listen to me? So, on the simple level, every person is responsible to do the mitzvot of the Torah, the way the Torah taught us to lead good moral lives, and one is not supposed to say, well, someone else told me to do otherwise. So that's step one. That's clear. Step two, what happens if the king tells a soldier, go destroy someone's house? So the halacha says, ordinarily we say, en shaliach ledvar avera. No such thing as a messenger to do a sin. Meaning, if I hire him and I tell him, here's $50, go break into so-and-so's house, bring me his Hanukkah menorah. He goes, breaks in, brings me the Hanukkah menorah, then we get caught. So he says, what do you want from me? I was hired by him. He throws the blame on me. The halacha says, "En shalech l'dvar avera." No such concept as, you're my messenger to perform a sin. When it comes to performance of mitzvot, so then I could make a messenger. A person could make a messenger to even marry a woman, right? If he wants to engage her, if he wants to do kiddushin, he could tell him, here, take the ring, go and tell her you're engaging her for me. And that could work. I mean, there are all kinds of things in halacha that, what's the idea of a blowing shofar? He's blowing shofar for all of us. He's our shaliach, he's our messenger. When you guys will get married, so you'll stand there under the chuppah, and the rabbi makes the blessing, and then he tells you, put the ring on her finger. What was that blessing he just made? It's your blessing. It's the blessing the chasen is supposed to make on the mitzvah that he's going to do right now in engaging the girl. But the rabbi is representing you, he's your shaliach. So in Judaism, for the performance of mitzvot, we say you could have a shaliach. But for the performance of averot, there's no such concept as a shaliach. What happens if the king tells someone, go break down someone's house? So there the halacha says, he told me to do it. And if I wouldn't have done it, he would have killed me, right? So I don't have to give up my life rather than do it. But now that I broke down so-and-so's house, who did it? Meaning the guy takes me to court and says, pay. And I say, well, the king told me to do it. So here we say, when a king tells us to do something, there we do say, yes, shalech l'dvar avera. There is such a concept as, I was his messenger because I couldn't protest. I couldn't go against what he said. He's the king. But that's relevant when the king could have killed me if I wouldn't have done it. What if the king would have simply punished me if I wouldn't have listened to him? So he's the president of the United States. He can't give me the death penalty. He tells me, you go break into someone's house. I say, no way. And then, after I don't break into someone's house, he finds a way to tax me. He invents a new tax called the Frankenthal tax. On my house, I have to pay. Suddenly, state tax on my house goes up, shoots to the sky. So, the halacha says like this. When one has to perform a mitzvah, for a mitzvah to say, for the performance of positive mitzvah, I have to buy a lulav and esrog. So the halacha says you're supposed to spend up to 20% of your income. More than that, don't spend. Meaning if I have my income right now, I look at the bank account, let's say $10,000, right? So I have to spend up to, maximum I have to spend is $2,000 to perform a mitzvah taseh. I don't have to fill in. So I have to spend up to 20% of my income. Hopefully the mitzvah usually costs much less than 20% of my income. But more than that, I don't have to spend. Even if it means a person won't wear tefillin every day, but right now he doesn't have the money for it. Now a person could say, I'll borrow tefillin every day. There's no mitzvah to own your own pair of tefillin. It's a good idea. I mean, but you don't have to. You could borrow someone's tefillin every day. It's not so good to do that. You might end up having some days when there's no one around to borrow from, but technically you could perform the mitzvah that way. Yeah.
20% of your yearly, monthly, or daily?
Oh, so that, I don't know offhand. I have to look it up. I don't know. So, when it comes to mitzvot asay, we say you have to spend 20% of your money to perform a mitzvot asay, and not more than that. What about a mitzvot lota asay? The Torah says you're not allowed to eat non-kosher. You're not allowed to eat pig. Your boss comes and tells you, I want you to know, we have a very important meeting tonight. We're going out to Burger King with our top client. Okay, not Burger King. We're going to the Ritz with our top client. And I'm going to order pork, and you're going to be a good boy. And don't tell me you're a Jew and all that. I know, tomorrow you'll be a Jew, and yesterday you were a Jew. Tonight you're eating with us at the Ritz. And you look at your boss and you say, I can't. And he says, well, if you can't, then you can pack your bags and don't show up to work tomorrow because you're fired. And you think to yourself, wait a second. In today's economic climate, if I'm fired, what are the odds I'm going to find a job? Close to nil. I have to start from scratch, and who knows if I'll ever find a job that pays close to this, if I'll find a job at all. Tells us the halacha, very strict halacha, when it comes to biblical prohibition, one is responsible to even give up his income. He has to give up whatever he's got and not transgress a biblical prohibition. When it comes to lota, say, not your life. You don't have to give up your life. But you do have to give up money, even if it means losing a job, for the sake of not transgressing a prohibition. Now, maybe you could get out of it. Maybe you could call up Rav Sperling and he'll tell you how you could go to a non-kosher restaurant. He has a whole class on how you could be in a non-kosher restaurant and order only the salads and which vegetables in the salads and how you eat because of the Kalim Aron Teufel. He has a whole class on how you can get away with being in a non-kosher restaurant and figuring out a way that you still won't transgress. So no one's telling you to be stupid. You have to be smart. Try to figure out a way not to lose your job. But if it boils down to a situation where it's either lose your income or do a biblical transgression, the Torah says you have to be willing to lose your income rather than do the transgression. When it's a lav, when it's an assay, when it's a pro-commandment, so then I'm only obligated up to 20%. Up to. Hopefully I'll get it cheaper. But when it's a lav, when it's a prohibition, there the Torah says you can't make such calculations. Your responsibility is to live up to it at all costs. Not at the cost of a life, but at the cost of money, yes. So that's a very tough mitzvah. That's difficult, but nonetheless, that's our obligation. We have to be willing to give up on our income in order to keep the Torah. Think about it. You know how many Jews were told in the time of the Great Depression, if you don't show up to work tomorrow, Saturday, don't bother coming in on Sunday. In the time of the Great Depression, there were many Jews who would daven early in the morning and then go to work. That's where the Ashkelon Minyan started. People would go daven early, come home and have a Shabbos meal for 20 minutes, and then go to work. Now, technically, they weren't supposed to do that, but that's a very difficult thing to live up to. Who could judge someone who fell at that? I mean, a guy has to put bread on the table. So there were unique Jews who lived up to the test, and they every week, they're on the unemployment line and looking for jobs again. Every week they started from scratch because they'd work a week and get fired for not showing up on Shabbos. But you know what? That's a very, very, very tough thing to do. There were people who lived up to it, but that's our responsibility. Shabbos is both asay and alos asay, and Hashem tells us that's what we have to do. So today, we're not dealing with a situation that if a person doesn't do this command or that command, he'll get killed. We're dealing with a situation where if he doesn't do it, he'll get punished, he'll get penalized. It's uncomfortable, maybe it'll cost him some money, probably not even that. But he'll go to jail. Okay, jail is like spending money. I mean, unless a person has a psychological problem where he might go insane in jail. But for most people, jail is very, 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 very uncomfortable. But it's not going to kill a person. So I would think that it falls under the same category. That one has that responsibility to go with halacha. If we're talking about a mitzvah lo sa'aseh, again, then you have to define when is he transgressing a los asay and when not. And about an asay, so that's a good question. I mean, how you evaluate the pain of being in jail, does that equal 20% of one's income? I don't know. Depends on how long he'd be in jail. Depends on the person. Depends on many factors. I don't know what the answer to that would be. Okay?